حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المنتجبين المنتخبين المظلومين المعصومين الذين أضحب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام صلوات محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد Indeed, the only religion in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. This is the ayah we have been discussing during this series of lectures. There is one thing I need to speak to about it today, is about taking our issues easily. We don't have to mess it up. We have to take it easy. Whenever there is a happiness, whenever something good happens in our life, it doesn't matter where you belong to, where you live, what you follow, what you do, it doesn't matter. To share your happiness, every person, wherever he lives, whether he lives in a city, whether he lives in a village, what he tries to do, he wants to share his happiness with his friends, with his loved ones, with his family, with his relatives. And if we find out that one of our relatives, a cousin, or one of our friend, for example, is getting married, or he has a birthday or something, there is going to be a function, there is going to be a party sort of a thing, he's inviting everyone to that function. So what is the first thing comes to our mind is that since I am a member of the family, I am a close friend, so I will get invited. Everyone, the person who is happy himself, is making a list, preparing a list with the names whoever he knows, close friends, old friends, family members, relatives, everyone, he's noting them now and he wants to invite every single one of them. He's preparing this list to invite even those people he hardly see. Even those people he hasn't met for years. But whenever there is something, happiness, something good happens to his life, maybe his son is getting married, maybe he himself is getting married, he wants to invite every single one of them. He wants to share his happiness with everyone. On the other hand, we, as an invitee, as a guest over there, we are expecting an invitation from his side. Whenever we find out that my friend is getting married, what is the first thing comes to my mind? I also want to get invited. I want to know where the function is happening, when it is happening, where it is happening. So I'm looking forward for an invitation. I'm even looking for the invitation so that I could go there. I have to prepare myself. I have to do the preparation. I have to maybe buy some gift. So I'm looking forward for the invitation. Suppose if a person don't get an invitation. He was a close friend. He invited everyone, but he forgot to invite me. Forgot. Not intentionally. He forgot. Sometimes it always happens. When you're inviting everyone, you always forget someone very close. You don't intentionally mean to uninvite him. You don't want to. You always want to invite him, but you forgot. So there is always there those people who are after the function finishes, they are always complaining. You'll find those people. They don't hate you, but they expected an invitation from your side. They expected that you will call them or you will send them an invitation so that they could come to the function. And you forgot. You'll find out these people are saying that we are close friends. I was expecting an invitation. We are relatives. We are family. Why didn't you send me an invitation? So now you'll say, okay, I forgot. Or some other excuses. It was a very close function or something. But whenever, God forbid, there is a problem in someone's family, there is a tragedy in someone's family, in our friend's family, in our relatives, in our family, if something wrong happens, something bad happens to them, we don't wait for the invitation. We don't want them to send us an invitation that, okay, listen, somebody in my family just passed away, please come to the majlis. Nobody waits for an invitation. The moment we find out that there is a tragedy in the family of my friend or in my close relatives, I'm not waiting for the phone calls. If the news is even false, I'll try to confirm that news. I'll call others. I will call my family members. Or I'll call my friend's family, whoever, wherever that problem is, I'll try to find out what the reality is. We don't wait for invitations. Why there is this difference? Why at some place we wait for the invitation and if we don't get the invitation, we complain. But when there is a tragedy happens in the family or in a friend circle and in relatives, we don't wait for invitations. Why this happens? This is because the connection between the people. This happens because there is a connection of the love among the people and friends. We don't wait for invitation of bad news that I have to go there and give my condolences. No, nobody waits for that. Even if there is a false news, you just try to confirm it or you just try to find out what's the truth. So whenever there is a tragedy in the family, you will find out who are the close ones. The tragedy tells you who are your close one who loves you. Whoever loves you, you don't have to invite them, or they don't even wait for the invitation. Even if they're having a grudge, if they are having a problem, they were not looking, you haven't seen them for years, but the moment they'll hear about the news that you have been going through a problem, they will automatically come to you, they will contact you, they will see to it that they could solve your problem. There is this beautiful thing in Islam called Sila Rahim, which means you have to be in touch with your family members. You have to be in contact with your family members. There is a hadith of Prophet Muhammad salawatullah wa salamullah alayhi. He says, you have to keep this contact with your relatives, even if you have to travel the distance of 1 year. At that time, there was no aeroplanes, no trains, no cars. People used to travel with camels and horses. So those who used to live far, even if he, in today's world, if a person, if my family member is living far away from me, if he is living in another city or in another country, it is very difficult to see him once in a while. But you have to establish, you have to maintain the connection, you have to maintain this relationship with him. Prophet says, if you have to even travel for 1 year, imagine traveling for 1 year. We travel for like 2 days, in a train we get tired. It's really difficult to travel with a train if you are traveling a long journey. But Prophet Muhammad is saying, if you have to even travel for 1 year, imagine that traveling in that time, you can only travel for like 40 to 50 kilometers in a day at that time. And you have to continuously travel for 1 year just to say salam to one of your family members and one of your relatives. Prophet Muhammad is saying you have to do this. You should do this. In another hadith he says, we don't want you to go there every day. Everyone is having his life. He has to work. He has to go for his job. He has to work for his livelihood. He has to maintain his family. I don't want you to go there and sit every day, because what you're doing, you're doing Sula Rahim. No, this is important. But on the other hand, you have to take care of your family too. All he wants, he said, what I want, the least from you as a Sula Rahim, is just to say salam to each other. The salam is just enough. If you're saying salam to one another, that will be sufficient to do the Sila Rahim. In a hadith from, I think it's from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he says, one of the quickest reward, one of the thing for which the quickest reward we get is Sila Rahim. If we maintain our relationships with one another, with our family members, with our community members, with our loved ones, the amount of sawab we're going to get from this, we don't have to wait until we die. We're going to get the sawab in this world. The quickest of the sawab which we get out of any khair is Sila Rahim. There was Mansur Dawaniqi, during his time, he called the Imam to his court and he said, I want you to tell me that hadith from Prophet regarding Sila Rahim. Imam said that I heard from my father and he heard from his grandfather and he heard from Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he heard from Prophet, that Prophet said, if A person cuts his relation with his relatives, with his loved ones, with his family members, his life reduces from 30 years to 3 years. Because he was scared, Mansur al-Dawanaqi was scared that I might die suddenly. So what, because he was Abbasi and he was trying to establish his connection with the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. Because ultimately they were cousins, because they were Bani Abbas and there was Ibn Abi Talib. So they were family members. That is how they got the whole caliphate. When there was fight between Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas, they claimed to be the rightful heir to the throne, to the caliph, to the Khilafat. Because they said, we are the Ahl Bayt. Because they were the cousins of Prophet Muhammad. So he used to say that, yes, Bani Abbas used to say that we are from the Ahl Bayt, so we are the rightful owner and rightful heir to the caliphate. That's how they got the caliphate. So he realized, and he wanted to tell it to his children, that look, we should establish our relationship with the Ahl Bayt by just doing salam and visiting them, so that we could save ourselves. He wasn't worried about the Ahl Bayt. If he was worried about Ahl Bayt, he would have given the Khilafah to Ahl Bayt. But he wanted to tell them, because he was scared that I might die all of a sudden. So all he wanted to do, to call the Imam to the court and show his children that, look, we are family and we have to maintain this relationship. So these are the things. We see it, there is, because of a small thing happened in the family, we disconnect ourselves. We don't see each other. We don't visit each other. Because something someone said to someone, and he said something to someone else, and because of that something, we don't even know whether it was true or not, we are worried that we are not seeing each other. It's been 5 years, it's been 10 years. We don't know the truth. But we're not seeing each other. Because someone said something to someone else, and that someone told someone else something. Because of these very small things, we are not seeing each other. One of the person during the time of Prophet came to Prophet and said, my family members, they want to get rid of me so that they don't have to share the heir, share the inheritance from which what I'm going to get from my father and grandfather. So they're trying to ignore me, and they are cursing me, and they are disconnected their connection with me. They don't visit me, and they don't call me to their family. So what should I do? Do I do the same thing what they are doing to me, or do I have to do something else? Prophet said, you are not allowed to disconnect yourself from your family. You should try in whatever way to establish your connection with them. Even with a salam. Even by just visiting them, even if they don't want you to visit. Just visit them. Give them salam. In another hadith, in another riwayah, there was this person came to Masum and he said, my family members don't like me. They don't want me to visit them. What should I do? Shall I cut my connection? Shall I just ignore them and continue with my life? Imam said, wait for a minute. Wait for a few days and we'll talk about it. After a few days, after a month or two, he comes back. And Imam asked, so how's thing? Are your relatives are seeing you? He goes, Ya Allah Rasulullah, there was this disease in the village and every one of them died. Imam said, I knew about this. I stopped you from disconnecting your relation with your family. If you would have disconnected yourself from your family, from your loved ones, you would have been dead by now too. You would have been dead. Because disconnecting yourself with your family, the qat'i rahim reduces your life. Sometimes in our modern society, when we look, when we see, is everybody who's going out or coming from a small town and is working now in the metropolitan cities, what you see, they mostly get disconnected with their own family members. And they say, okay, we have now moved on, we can have our own separate life, we can carry on with a small family, a husband, wife and their children. So it's good, we don't have to take care of them, otherwise we have to take care of everyone else. We have to see the good and bad of the family, we have to get into the politics of the family. So now, alhamdulillah, we are living alone, we don't have to face these kind of problems, we are in peace. Imam Ali says in a hadith that when you disconnect yourself, when there is a qat'i rahim, it's actually the one who is thinking that he is living in a peace, separately, in a town, in a city, alone with his family, which he thinks, okay, now I have to only take care of my family, small five people in a family, four people in a family. Now I don't have to worry about the rest of the family members, the bigger family. So what is actually happening? He is not leaving them. Actually, he got left out. Because the whole family is still intact with, and they are all connected with each other. The one who thinks he got left out, the one who's living in other city, or who is trying to leave everyone else, is actually been left out. He's not leaving everyone out. He's the one who got left out. When there is a beautiful hadith about the friendship and relationship, your relatives. Someone came to Imam and asked, how would you define a friendship and your relationship with your family members, your family? Imam said, those who are related to you because of your bloodline, your uncle, your aunties, your father, your mother, your family members, they are like gold. And those who are your friends, who are not related to you, they are not your family members, they are like diamonds. And the person who visiting the Imam, he said, the family should be diamond. It is more precious. It is more expensive. Why is Imam saying that family and your relatives are gold and your friends who are from outside the family, they're not related to you, they got friend in the way, in the office, in the school, during the, when you were studying in a college, they became your friend. And Imam is telling you that they are diamond. So he asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the hikmah behind this? You call your family members as a gold and your friends as a diamond. What is the hikmah behind it? What is the wisdom behind this? I am not getting it. Because diamond is more precious than gold. And you're always telling that you have to do the sila rahim. It is very important. You never said, okay, even if you're having some problem with a friend, you may not continue with him. But you can't ignore your family members. So why this is, when you're saying it, it should be other way around. The family should be diamond and friend should be gold. Imam explained to him. He said, whenever there is a problem in a gold, when a gold breaks up, there is a problem in a gold and it breaks up, you can melt it and join it again. But if there is a crack in a diamond, you can't melt it. Whenever there is a crack in your friendship, it can't be back normal. It's not going to be normal again. But whenever there is a problem in the family, you can go back to normal because you are brothers and sisters. You are relatives. You are connected to each other with your blood. So Imam is telling us, yes, there can be misunderstandings, there can be difference of opinion, there can be problems, but you can't leave your family. If there is a problem, if we are suffering with something, there is a misunderstanding, or maybe there's somebody disrespected you, but you should not leave your family, because as I said, when there will be a problem, you might not find your friends. You might not find your those people who you met for some time. Or maybe they are very close friend. They might not feel your pain. But whenever you will have a problem, your family will share your pain. They will feel you. They will feel the same pain you're going through. That is what Imam is telling us. They are like gold. You can melt them and you can bring them together again. The silah rahim is very important. For very small things. A younger brother disrespected the elder brother. Or there was a fight between the wife of brothers. Or the small, because of somebody just shifted to some other city and he don't have any time, he can't come back. Prophet is saying that you have to maintain this relationship even with a salam. All you have to do is to give the salam. You don't have to come and visit them every month. You don't have to call them every day. All you have to do is just keep in touch. Stay in touch with each other. There is a lot of things which we miss out. So much of Adab has been mentioned because of Qat'i Rahim. Even the Quran says, it calls the Munafiqeen that you think that by disowning your and disconnecting yourself from your relatives, you will be able to move forward. It means if your relatives are not even Muslims, because some of the people during the time of Prophet Muhammad, they used to convert themselves to Islam. They used to accept Islam as their religion, but their fathers, their loved ones used to follow the same old religion, same old path they used to follow. So Prophet is telling that you have to even meet those people. One of the companions of Imam Sadiq comes to Imam and said, my mother, she is not a Muslimah. So what should I do? Do I have to give the same respect I would have been giving if she would have been a Muslim? Or shall I just go on and move on within my new life with Islam, which I accepted? Imam told him that you have to go back to your mother. You have to go back to your house. And you have to take care of your mother even more. The amount of respect you used to give her before, now since you have accepted Islam, you have to give her more respect than before. Because she is your mother. Now with the change which she will see in you, she might be also interested in Islam. You have to show her that Islam doesn't allow you to disconnect from your loved ones, from your family members. There's a hadith from Prophet Muhammad. It says, if you have a problem with one of your relatives, one of your mu'min brother, and if you don't patch up the things within three days, then you are not from us. Now we have to find out how many people we have disconnected ourselves. Maybe we haven't been able to contact each other. But sometimes we do this intentionally. Okay, I don't like him. He's always telling something about me to others. He's telling something maybe I don't like him to tell to others. Something which I did when I was a kid. Now he's making fun of me, so I don't like him, so I don't want him to visit. I don't want to visit him. Or I don't want him to visit me. So what we do, we try to ignore each other. So if we intentionally trying to ignore someone, trying to disconnect ourselves with others, we are actually doing the qat'i rahim, which has been mentioned in the hadith and the Quran as a very bad virtue. We shouldn't be doing this. Other hadiths, there are a lot of hadiths. If one of the hadiths, it says, if you want to increase your sustenance, your rizq, you should be contacting your family members. You should be establishing your relationship with your family members and your relatives. You should be doing sila rahim. If you're connecting with each other, I can understand this. Because being away from home is a very difficult thing. If you're living in another city, and God forbid, you get into some sort of problem, especially when you're in a college, in a university, and you felt sick, and you're not in your hometown, in your home, you're somewhere else. That is the time you understand the importance of your family. Because when you're sick at home, you don't have to worry. There's family members, there are aunties and uncles and mother and father to take care of you. They'll see that you don't need anything. They'll provide you everything. They'll take you to the doctors. They're worried about you. But when you're abroad or living in a city where nobody knows you and you don't know anybody, you don't know anyone who can come and sit by your side and take care of you. That is the place where you understand the importance of the family. Even at that place, when you're even very happy, whenever, as I said, whenever a person is happy, he wants to share his happiness. He wants to call his friends, his loved ones. He wants to share his feeling. And when he's away from his house and he has no one to share his happiness, it is very difficult because he's looking for someone. So whenever we get time, we should give a call to our friends. We should call our relatives, even if we haven't spoken with them for a year or more than a year. If maybe we have a problem with each other. The problem with us is the ego which we have. Why should I call first? He should have been calling me. I'm older, I'm elder, I'm senior. And on the other hand, if you're younger, you said, okay, I don't understand anything. He's elder than me. He should have understood. He should have called me. The problem is with us. We don't know how to begin. It's a small thing. All we have to do is just to start the thing. Start the conversation. One step at a time. Just call once. Call twice. Maybe you don't pick up your phone. Maybe he doesn't answer your emails. Maybe he doesn't answer your messages. Call twice. Because what you're doing is doing your part. So many people, I've seen so many riwayat about this. So many people came to Prophet Muhammad and the A'imma trying to ask, get the permission that I want to get rid of my relatives, get rid of my family members because they're not giving me the respect which I should get. Or they want to get rid of me. So shall I just corner myself and leave them all? Every time anybody coming for this permission, every time you'll see in the riwayat, the A'imma and Prophet, he's telling them, no, you can't leave them. Even if they want to get rid of you, you can't leave them. Just stay with them. Stay, talk to them, just give them salam. Just give them a reason to talk to you. Do your part. If you'll be doing our part, inshallah, there will be a time then he will realize that, yes, I was making a mistake. He has called me 20 times, now I should call him once at least. We should be waiting for that one call from the other side, but we have to begin. We shouldn't be waiting for anyone else to begin. Because as I said, most of the time we don't even know why there is a problem. Most of the time we don't even know who said something, whether it has been said or not. Most of the time we don't even know that why we are angry. We even forgot the reason why we are angry for. But since we haven't spoken to each other for years, for months, we don't even remember the reason why we are not speaking to each other. If we take the first step of coming together, there is a chance that we come together. There is a chance. There's so much of thawab in that, so much of reward. The risk will be increased. The life will be increased. There will be barakat in the home. There will be, there's a hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, by doing sila rahim, by doing one thing, you might get few things in return. He was telling to his companions, if you will do this one thing, you will get few things in the return. Everybody asked, what is that one thing? He said, sila rahim. If you will establish your connection with your family, the God will be happy with you. Your rizq will be increased. Your life will be increased. These were the few things which you will get immediately. One of the companions of our seventh Imam, Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam, came to Mecca to see Imam Kazim over there. And Imam Kazim said, you came with that person of your friend. When he will be returning to Baghdad, he won't reach there. He will be dead. That person asked, why so? Imam said, because of the qat'i rahim. Because these two people were cousins with each other. And they were not talking to each other. So Imam was telling them, your cousin won't reach Baghdad and he will die in his way. And he was surprised. Then he asked, then why did I die? When my cousin will die, why haven't I not yet dead? Imam said, because on the way to Mecca, you met one of your aunts on the way and you greeted her and you gave her some gifts. Because of that sila rahim, your life got increased. Otherwise, you would have been dead too. So with these small things, and when he went back to Baghdad, he asked his brother, what happened to your brother? And he told him that yes, as you said, as Imam told you, that when he was returning back from Mecca to Baghdad, he died on the way and he was got buried in the way. So he understood. By this hadith, what we understand is by establishing connection, establishing the sila rahim with our family members, our loved ones, not we just increasing our risk and having the support of our family members, we are also increasing our life. The hadith, as I earlier mentioned, that when Mansur al-Dawanaqi called Imam and he remembered the hadith from Prophet that if you could disconnect yourself, your connection with your family members, your life will be reduced. Sometimes the life doesn't have to be so long. There are a lot we can do in less lives. Today, on the 7th of Muharram, I want to mention the Masaib of Qasim ibn Hasan. He was young, he was just 13 year old. Please recite salawat so that I could start the masail. Qasim ibn Hasan, 13 baras ki umr hai. Agar hamare ghar mein koi 13 saal ka bachcha hota hai aur hum agar use dekhein to kya hum ye soch sakte hain ki kya ise maidan-e-jang mein bheja ja sakta hai, kya ise is baat ki samajh bhi hai ki maidan-e-jang mein karna kya hai, kya ise is baat ki samajh hai ki haq aur batil mein farq kya hota hai, kya ise is baat ki samajh hai ki maut kya hoti hai. Abhi iska bachpana hai, abhi iski umr 13 baras ki hai. Hum aur aapke darmiyan mein jo bacche 13 baras ke hote hain unhe to abhi takleef ka matlab bhi nahi pata hota hai, lekin اہلِ بیت کے گھرانے کے بچوں کا سن نہیں دیکھا جاتا ہے. وہ دکھنے میں چھوٹے ہوتے ہیں لیکن ان کی معرفت ہمارے اور آپ کے زمانے کے بوڑھوں سے بھی شاید زیادہ ہوتی ہے. جب شبِ عاشور امام حسین ہر فرد کو یہ بلا کر بتا رہے تھے اور شہادت نامہ سنا رہے تھے کہ کل زہیر تم بھی شہید ہو جاؤ گے, سعید تم بھی مارے جاؤ گے, بریر تم بھی قتل کر دیے جاؤ گے, جان تم بھی شہید کر دیے جاؤ گے, جب ایک مرتبہ تمام لوگوں کے نام لے چکے تو قاسم بن احسن مولا کے پاس آئے, چچا جان کیا مرنے والوں میں میرا نام نہیں ہے؟ کیا جو لوگ کل شہید ہو جائیں گے ان میں میرا نام نہیں ہے؟ امام حسین نے ان سے وہ تاریخی جملہ پوچھا کہ بیٹا قاسم, تمہاری نگاہ میں موت کیسی ہے؟ جناب قاسم فرماتے ہیں, احلا من الاصل, یہ حیدر کرار کا پوتا ہے جس کا کہنا یہ ہے کہ میری نظر میں موت شہد سے زیادہ شیرین ہے. رات گزرتی ہے, صبح عاشور نمودار ہوتی ہے اور ایک کے بعد ایک جب اصحاب کا سلسلہ ختم ہو گیا اور اب بنی ہاشم کے جوان اپنی جان کو قربان کرنے کے لیے میدان جنگ میں جا رہے ہیں, تو جب بھیا علی اکبر شہید ہو گئے, جب انو محمد شہید ہو گئے, تو قاسم اپنے چچا کے پاس آتے ہیں اور آنے کے بعد ہاتھ جوڑتے ہیں, اے مولا کیا اب آپ مجھے اجازت دیں گے کہ میں میدان جنگ میں جاؤں اور اپنی جان کو قربان کروں, میں میدان جنگ میں جاؤں اور اپنے بابا کی طرف سے اپنی جان کو آپ کے اوپر نچھاور کر دوں؟ امام حسین نے اس ننھی سی جان کو دیکھا, دیکھنے کے بعد کہا ہے, اے بیٹا قاسم, تم میرے بھائی کی نشانی ہو, تم میرے بھائی کے لخت جگر ہو, میں تمہیں کیسے اجازت دے دوں, میں تمہیں کیسے روانہ کر دوں, میں تمہیں کیسے رخصت کر سکوں گا؟ اے بیٹا قاسم, میں تمہیں کیسے بھیج دوں؟ اتنا سننا تھا کہ قاسم رونے لگے, روتے روتے مولا کے قدموں میں گرے, قدموں کو چومنے لگے, اے آقا مجھے اجازت دیجئے, میں مرنے کو جانا چاہتا ہوں, مجھے رخصت کر دیجئے. مولا ایک مرتبہ قاسم کو گلے سے لگا لیتے ہیں, آمادہ کرتے ہیں, اپنے ہاتھوں سے تیار کیا, بھائی کی ردا پہنائی, بھائی کا امامہ پہنایا, تیار کرنے کے بعد قربان کو کو چاک کر دیا. کیوں یہ چاک کر رہے ہیں عزیزوں؟ عربوں میں ایک رسم ہے کہ جب یتیم کوئی ہوتا ہے تو اس کے غریبان کو چاک کر دیا جاتا تھا. شاید کوئی اشقیا میں جب اس چاک غریبان کو دیکھے تو شاید اس قاسم پر تھوڑا سا رحم کرے. مولا نے غریبان کو چاک کیا, خیمے سے باہر آئے. اب جب گھوڑے پہ سوار کرنا چاہتے ہیں تو گھوڑے کی رکاب تک پیر نہیں پہنچ رہا ہے. قاسم ابھی 13 برس کے ہیں, کس طریقے سے گھوڑے کی رکاب تک پہنچے گا پیر؟ جناب عباس نے رکاب کو چھوٹی کیا, گھوڑے پر سوار کیا. اب ادھر سے سامنے سے عمر سعد نے جیسے ہی اس چاند کے ٹکڑے کو میدان کی طرف آتے ہوئے دیکھا, ایک شام کا بہادر پہلوان تھا ارزق نام کا, اس کو بلایا, اے ارزق جاؤ اس بچے کا کام تمام کر دو. ارزق کو لگا کہ میں اتنا بڑا پہلوان اور اس ننھے سے بچے کے سامنے جاؤں, اس نے اپنے لیے بے عزتی سمجھی. اس نے اپنے بیٹے کو بھیجا, اے بیٹا جاؤ اس کا کام تمام کر دو. ابھی جیسے ہی حیدر کرار کے نپوتے کے سامنے دکھنے نہ پایا تھا کہ پہلے بیٹے کو واصل جہنم کیا, اس نے دوسرے بیٹے کو بھیجا, دوسرے بیٹے کو واصل جہنم کیا, اس کے بعد تیسرے کو, پھر چوتھے کو. جب چاروں بیٹے کے واصل جہنم کر چکا تو پھر ایک مرتبہ اس کو غصہ آیا, میدان جنگ میں آیا اور جیسے ہی چاہا کہ حملہ کرے جناب قاسم نے اس کو بھی واصل جہنم کر دیا. جب ہمارے ساتھ نے یہ دیکھا کہ یہ حیدر کرار کا پوتا ہے, اسے کوئی مار نہیں سکتا ہے, تو ایک مرتبہ دھوکے سے پوری فوج کو قاسم کی طرف بھیج دیا. اب کوئی نیزہ مار رہا ہے, کوئی تیر چلا رہا ہے, کوئی تلوار سے حملہ کر رہا ہے. اتنے میں قاسم زخمی ہو کر گھوڑے سے زمین پر تشریف لائے, آواز دیا, یا عماد رکنی, اے چچا جان میری نصرت کو آئیے. ابھی مولا حسین میدان کی طرف جیسے ہی بڑھنا چاہتے تھے, امام حسین کو میدان کی طرف آتے ہوئے دیکھ کر فوج اشقیا ادھر کے گھوڑے ادھر ہو گئے, ادھر کے گھوڑے ادھر ہو گئے, بیچ میں قاسم کا لاچا پامال ہو گیا. مولا قاسم کے پاس پہنچے, قاسم کے لاشے کو اٹھایا, قاسم کے لاشے کو اٹھا کر جیسے ہی گھوڑے پہ رکھا, عزیزوں ابھی جہاں قاسم کا لاشا اتنا چھوٹا تھا کہ پیر زین تک نہیں پہنچ پا رہے تھے, اور اب جب واپس لے کر آ رہے ہیں تو قاسم کا جنازہ میدان کربلا میں خط کھینچتا ہوا آ رہا ہے. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. بار الہ ہماری اس مختصر سی ادا کو قبول فرما, بار الہ ہم میں سے ہمارے گناہان کبیرہ و صغیرہ کو معاف فرما, بار الہ ہم میں سے جو حج و زیارات کے مشتاق ہیں انہیں حج و زیارات سے مشرف فرما, بار الہ ہم میں جو مریض ہیں انہیں شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما, بار الہ ہم میں جو مقروض ہیں ان کے قرض کی غیب سے ادائیگی فرما, بار الہ ہمارے امام زمانہ کی ظہور میں تعجیل فرما اور ہم سب کو ان کے عوان و انصار میں شمار فرما. ربنا